Ephesians chapter number 6, a series I've been preaching here on Wednesday nights. I started on a Sunday night and I continued on Wednesday nights, and I am going to methodically finish this series. Whether you always realize it or not, we are in a battle. Somebody help me there. We're in a battle. And I want to say a couple things. I hope it ain't controversial to you, just truth. We're in a battle, and a whole bunch of people are becoming casualties. Are you with me? I'm talking about people who saved, that have become casualties. And you might say, why are they casualties? They're casualties because they're not fighting the devil right. See, if you're going to be in war with the devil, you got to know how to fight him. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I hope that you get it right. I hope you don't go pound me overhead and start, you know, whatever you do. You hear me? Spirituality is more than come to church, though that is a part of it. Spirituality is more than giving your tithe, though that's biblical. You can come to church and you can give your tithe and still be a casualty. Are you with me? You still can fall by the wayside, and the devil can get the best of you, and he can win. And I'm preaching on these Wednesday nights on how to have spiritual victory. You say, preacher, I do a lot of stuff. I come to church. I work in several departments. Why am I losing to the devil? Because you're not fighting right. And good preaching, preacher. Ephesians 6, are you there? I'll try not to do too much review, but some folks are coming in kind of cold on this, and I want to just give you enough to get you where I'm at and then go on with where I've been traveling these days. Finally, my brother, in verse 10, he's ending this book, started in the heavens and ending on the battlefield. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, since we're fighting and wrestling, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. You said, what is the evil day? The last day? No, the evil day is when the devil comes after you. That's the evil day. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, I covered that last time. I'll hit it just a little bit. And tonight I'll deal with this a lot. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. And if I have time, I'll get to verse 15. Don't think I will, but I'll go ahead and read the verse. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Two or three things by way of introduction. First of all, we see the exhortation to the Christian. Be strong in the Lord. I'm talking about the supernatural power. There's no power able to overcome the devil but God's supernatural power. You're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to be able to overcome him on your own. You've got to have supernatural power. You've got to be strong in the Lord. Now, to do that, two things were involved. First of all, you had to have a self-distrust. I want you to know something. You look at me. I do not trust me one second on my ability to overcome the devil. I don't trust you either. I'm talking about in defeating the devil. I don't trust you. You can't do it. You might say, I can. No, you can't. But not only do you have a self-distrust, but you got to have a sincere dependence. Here's what you do. I don't trust myself, but I do believe there's a God that overcome death, hell, and the grave. A God that's on the throne. A God that's omnipotent, omniscient. Somebody help me. All-knowing, all-powerful, and omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. How many of y'all believe that? I only see a supernatural power, but I see a sovereign purpose and be strong in the power of his might. That's God's purpose, is for you to fight the devil the right way. Now, secondly, and I'll pass just through that real quick. I've already covered this. We've seen the exhortation to the Christian and then the enemies of the conflict. Some of y'all think, evidently, the devil is unorganized. You're not right. He's more organized than most churches. Oh, yeah, I'd have preached. Hey, some churches don't even know how to have order in the church. Hello? They are. There's some churches that are crazy. I'm glad I'm not a member of them. They don't have a clue. Am I preaching? And he's organized. Let me show you how organized the enemies. Number two, the enemies of the conflict. Now we see an intense activity, a wrestling match. Come on now. Come here, Zach. Now, come over, Zach. I will not hurt you. Okay. Turn right here.
Turn
right here. Okay. Now listen to me. I am 6'5", 299 something before I eat. And he is whatever. And listen to me. It is not, I'm looking at him. There ain't no doubt in my mind he ain't got a chance. Because see, what I do is, see, it's easy. Because I can see him. And then once I get him, I smash him. And I throw over him. And you all right?
I believe.
Good. Hold a minute. 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 Why didn't he put any weight on you, son? I only put 135 pounds on you. Oh, you'll be all right. You okay? Come on up here, I'll heal you real quick. But here, listen to me. I can see him. By the way, I'm larger than anybody in this room. But you know what, Denny? If you size me up, you can take me because you can see me. You'll figure out a way. But hold on a minute. The person we're fighting is unseen. I'm not going to do it again. I can't bring you up here, put a chokehold on your neck, slam you down to the ground. I can't slam the devil on the ground because I can't see the devil. So does it make sense that you can't fight the devil the way you ought to fight him? Because we're not fighting with flesh and blood. Now let's look, you okay? Okay, you look better. Your collar's back. And they're injurious adversaries. Let me show you how organized. First of all, the principalities. They're the crown dignitaries. They're the top shelf. They're the generals. They're the governors, the ones in charge. And then we had the powers. That's the conquering deputies. Those are one right down below them. Then we had the rulers of darkness. That's the capable deceivers. That's preachers in a pulpit that ain't preaching right. There's a lot of churches leading people right into hell. I ain't got time for all that, but I. By the way, I want y'all to know this so I can just hit this move. I'm against Calvinism. It's permeating and going into many of the Baptist denominations. It's not in ours. And some independent Baptists think they're real high learned. I don't believe in the tulip. I pluck him tulips out every time I get a chance. And I don't, by the way, that's deception. And the contemporary movement and the compromise movement. You live whatever way you want to live. And no, that's not true. Then the spiritual wickedness. That's the countless demons. Hey, you know there's demons over in the river Euphrates right now? How many of y'all knew that? There's demons in the river Euphrates getting ready to be turned loose in the last days. That's that deep preaching. I better go on, Michael. Number three, here's where I'm at tonight, and I'll be able to give you the next 20 minutes of this. Look at verses 6 and chapter 6, verse 11 and 13, the equipment for combat. Now, I covered this last week. I won't do much of it. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, let me show you. This is quick, and I'm done. The loins is this area. Now, if you know anything about fighting, you have to have a good base. Whether you're you got to have a good foundation. You with me? Anybody play golf here? Well, you don't play golf. You swing and act like a silly. You don't. You're bad. You're almost as bad as me. But you know this. Your base. It's right here. It's a vital area. By the way, your loins also is your reproduction. That's where your reproduction area is. Now, let me say something. You are not going to be able to fight the devil and reproduce as a Christian and win other Christians. Are y'all listening to me? Unless you have your loins girt about with truth. Now, they had this big robe. It was big flowing robe. And they had a girdle that put around it. And it tightened it up. You with me? It tightened it up, and they put the sword down in it, and they were able to move freely. You know why a lot of you are losing to the devil? Because you're bound up, you're not tightened up, you're too loose. You got loose lips, and you got loose lives. You say, "What do you mean, preacher? You're not honest." I'm talking about being truthful. You know why a lot of, I'm just going to go ahead and preach this, okay? You know why a lot of folks are so backslidden away from God? They're just not honest. I'm going to tell you this, dog. I'm going to preach a sermon on this pretty soon. Repentance. I know some of my Baptist brethren don't believe it. I believe in repentance. You say, what is repentance? It's a change of mind that will cause a change of direction. And I want you to know something to me. And I'm going to just say, you know, a lot of people, when they get caught, they have what I call worldly sorrow. But you'll know if they really repented. Because repentance is more than worldly sorrow. It's godly sorrow. That changes your direction. If you come and say, "I repent over this matter," then you go back and do the same matter again. You ain't repented. I see it all the country. I preach to people every week that say they repented and then turn around and do the same thing they did before. They have not repented. They may have got cut. They may have got worldly sorrow, but they ain't really got right with God. And you know what? There's some of my Baptist friends are after me because I preach this doctrine. Well, I want to tell them a bunch of buzzards something. Jesus preached the doctrine. He said, "Repent or perish." Turn. Turn from your sin to serve the living God. So, two things and I'm done on this truth. There's a practical aspect. And then there's a positional aspect. By the way, there's the truth that you're honest and you don't lie. And then there's the truth of the Word of God. And by the way, this is the one you measure everything by. Somebody, you know, I get tired of this stuff. I'm about ready to preach on everything I know right now. I am so tired. Here, you know what the famous Baptist word is today? Famous Baptist word, gray area. I'm so sick of it. Oh, that's a gray. Alcohol is a gray area. Well, the Bible said wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Amen, preacher. Amen. And it really talks about what happens to somebody that gets in that stuff. Hello. You say it's a gray area. Jesus drank wine. Look, knucklehead, he didn't drink fermented wine. You say, "You can't prove it." Oh, yes, I can. The wine that he served at communion was not alcoholic wine. You say, "You can't prove that either." I'm glad you asked. Yes, I can. What makes wine alcoholic, Lois? Tell me what makes it. You drink a lot of it. Tell me, Lois. I'm wild tonight. I come to church wild. You know those 11. Yeast, leaven. That's what makes it alcoholic. Well, if Jesus drank, why did, you know what kind of wine he served? He served unleavened wine and unleavened bread. Because leaven is sin. Somebody help me. So you say, well, what was the wine they drank? Drink grape juice, because grape juice is wine. It's new wine. It's the unfermented wine, but it's still wine. We call it grape juice, but it's actually wine. You say, well, Preacher Smith, I got you there. There ain't no way in the world they could ever have good wine, because it would all spoil and it all would be fermented. No, you're wrong there too. I got a book called The Bible Wines of the Ancients. They could preserve grape juice for 100 years. Boy, I ain't got time to get all that, Chad, but that's good preaching anyhow. I don't know how I got some of y'all drinking. Must be, or I wouldn't have been on that long. Hello. I done lost track of where I'm at. Put away all lying, all evil speaking. But now let's go to the second thing. Here's where I'm starting tonight. I got about 10, 15 minutes, so I'll only cover one tonight. I'm trying to cover one a week. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what is that? Let me explain. The breastplate covered this area, right here. You remember? It was a breastplate. It was made of, it had chains. It was meshed together. And it protected the center mass. Or actually, it protected the heart. By the way, the Bible said the heart is deceitful. And who can know it? And you say, preacher, I'll just follow my heart. Sometimes that ain't good. See, when you get saved, you got to believe in your heart. Come on now. I got saved in my heart. And by the way, the things that come out of you, they come out of your heart. Am I preaching? So, now, if that's true, and it is. And by the way, once Satan gets your heart, he got you. See, if you're not covering your chest up, son, Joe, if you ain't covering your chest up, they put them, that's hand-to-hand combat, they get them little daggers and they stick it in your heart. You with me? Denny, if I don't cover my chest up, that's a vital area. How in the world can you win on the devil if you're not covering your chest up? Because all the devil's going to do is stick you right in the heart. That's what I do. Now hold a minute. Y'all with me? Chad, you with me? See, for where your treasures are, there is your what? Heart. A lot of people have problem with tithing and giving. I'll tell you why they have problem with tithing and giving. Is because their treasures are not in heaven. Their treasures are right down here. Hello? Good preaching, preacher. I hear people say, well, my heart's not in it. No, it's not in it. Because you ain't got it guarded. Now, y'all with me? Now, let me give you two things here. And by the way, it's the breastplate of what? Two things I'll give you and I'm done. There's two kinds of righteousness, Dan. Did you know that? How many of y'all know there's two kinds of righteousness? Can I walk down here and do it? I'm on a roll right now. I feel pretty good tonight. There is what I call imputed righteousness. That's righteousness that you did not earn. That's righteousness that comes by faith in Christ. Here's what happened, Lois, when you was, 5 years old, you got saved, wasn't you? My daughter was saved at 5. A lot of people say they can't be saved if I'm. My daughter's saved, sealed, doing good. And you're saved, sealed, doing good. You can't be saved if I'm. Hear me. Well, you know what happened to your little old girl? Now I was 22. Probably had a lot more sin you were. But hold on a minute. You know what happened when you got saved and you trusted Christ? God imputed his righteousness to you. Free gift. And you're covered by the blood. And when God, when you seeing the devil go up before the throne and accuse you, and he does, and he'll say, Denny McGrew, this, you know how he does. And then the Lord would look over his balcony. And he don't see you, Denny. He sees the imputed righteousness of Christ. Amen. I'm going to heaven because I got imputed righteousness. You know with me? I got that by faith. That comes because of the blood. That had nothing to do with me. Sis, good to meet you. How you doing? You having a good night?
Yes, sir.
You enjoying the preaching?
Absolutely.
Say amen right there. Amen. Good. Stick around. I like you. Hear me out. Every one of you, how many saved people in this room? Raise your hand if you're saved. Hold it. You know what happened to you the night you got saved? God in heaven draped you with righteousness. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that we who are the Son of Men can become the sons of God. He was made sin for us that knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God by him. Hold on, man. But there's another aspect. Here's what happened. I'll be good to you now. You okay?
Yes.
Let me massage you a little bit. Okay. Listen to me. When you got saved, you got righteousness. But something else you got. You got indwelled by the Holy Ghost. God's in you. Now see here. Oh, turn to Romans 6, will y'all? Turn to Romans 6. Hurry. I got 5 minutes. Hurry. Now, there's positional righteousness. How many agree with me? But also there is practical righteousness. Turn to Romans 6. Get to Romans 6. How many's there say amen? I got a thumb index and I haven't even got there yet. All right, Romans 6. Go down with me. Go down with me to about verse number 16. Y'all with me? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of a sin unto death or of obedience unto what? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, ye became the what? Servants of what? I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Even so now you yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Y'all with me? Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Now listen here. Here's how this works. God come in you. Imputed righteousness. Christ in you. Now, here's the key. That breastplate of righteousness is more than just the imputed righteousness. It's your practical righteousness. If you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't yield to the Holy Spirit. By the way, Denny, do you know you and I will go in the direction that we yield ourselves to? If I yield myself to temptation, I'm going there. If I yield myself to ungodly lusts, I'm going there. Hello? That's why I don't go to places where they got that kind of junk. Hey, some of you say, man, preach, I go to some parties. I go to parties every once in a while. I like to be around the in crowd. Why am I in the in crowd? I'm in Christ. Wait a minute. You didn't get that. I did. Woo! Listen to me. Yeah, you want to be cool. I'll drink with my friends. I'll smoke a little dope every once in a while. I'll yield my body to all that junk. That's ungodliness. Amen. You yield yourself to Christ. You yield yourself to righteousness. That's that breastplate. See, the devil going to get to you, son, if you don't have a breastplate on. So simple. You want to come back up here? I won't hurt you, son. Come on. Come on. I promise. I'm going to let you do it. It's your chance. Okay, here I am. I'm protected. You got a knife in your hand. Put it to me. Put it to me where it's going to count. Show everybody what you're doing. Well, that's pitiful. That's real pitiful, really. Hold it. Don't leave. It's not very big, but it'll work. Now put it to me. You didn't get my heart. You got the breastplate.
That's right.
Watch. You got the breastplate.
Right.
You think you believe in pastoral abuse?
Yes.
Now hold a minute. You know why some of you are losing? You don't have that over your heart.
Amen.
The devil gets in hand to hand with you, and he's able to put his knife in your heart because you're unrighteous. And all you got to do is put the breastplate of righteousness right here. He can't get there.
Yes, amen.
Somebody help me preach right there. Why do we have so many casualties out there, Brother Neil? We have them out there because they don't have the breastplate on, and the devil can sneak up on them. Now, we'll show you more about the fiery darts, another way to defeat them. This is defeating hand to hand. This is when we get down and dirty. And by the way, if you believe the devil plays fair, you're wrong. Now, here's what we learned tonight. Josh, you know what the breastplate of righteousness is? First of all, it's imputed righteousness. That means God's in you. Since he's in you, now you can yield to him and practice righteousness. How many believe we ought to live right? I mean, I want y'all to know something. I don't know how often you read your Bible. If it's not every day, it's not enough. I don't know how often you pray. If it's not every day, it's not enough. And I'll talk about going and soul winning here later in this thing. But I'm telling you, a lot of you are casualty because you're unprotected. That's why sin gets you. You ain't not have the breastplate of righteousness. Y'all with me? How many wants to win over the devil? You don't want to be a casualty. You want to be somebody who said, well, man, he used to go to church. Used to serve God. Now his marriage is going, his life's going, his children's going, everything's gone. Why? Because he didn't put a breastplate on. And by the way, I'm done. Put it on means put it on and keep it on. Put it on every day. You can't put it on and take it off. Got to have it on all the time. Because the devil's after you all the time. How many learn one thing tonight? Raise your hand if you learn one thing. Bow your head with me. All right, now I say, Preacher Smith, I love God. But I tell you, the devil's been winning over me. And I'm starting to realize it's because I ain't been fighting him right. I wonder how many right now, you want to apply what you've been hearing. And you want to be victorious. You want to be a good Christian. Raise your hand up. I'll pray for you tonight. God bless you. Stand with me. If you need to come and pray, come and pray. Father, thank you for this evening. If you're not saved tonight, come and get saved. And Lord, we'll praise you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand.
I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose.
die. Next week, we're going to another device. We're going to put some shoes on next week. The shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel. But next week, we're not going to talk about Chad's Allen Edmonds or what's these shoes? What, my Rockports? By the way, if y'all want, how many want to know how big that is? 16 wide. But we're talking about shoes that'll make sure that you'll win the battle. Shod with the preparation of God. That's next week. Father, thank you for the good time tonight. Hope the people really enjoyed the word and our time together. And it's enjoyable to come out Bible study on Wednesday night. Get some truth, get some help. I want to serve you right. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.